My guest at this time is John Fund. He's a columnist for National Review and co-author of the book, Who's Counting? How Fraudsters and Bureaucrats Put Your Vote at Risk. We want to get his reaction to the Supreme Court upholding an Ohio law that allowed the state to remove names from the voter rolls if those people fail to vote for six consecutive years and do not respond to state efforts to make sure they want to stay on the rolls and are still at their proper address and so forth. And John, thanks so much for being with us.
A pleasure, Greg. Thank you.
Well, it's a 5-4 decision from the Supreme Court, the usual dividing lines here with the four liberals in the minority and in the dissent. Justice Alito for the majority, essentially saying that this law, which requires state officials to send out notices to people who don't vote for a 2-year period, and if they don't respond and they don't vote for another 4 years, they're removed from the rolls. Justice Alito essentially saying, it's not up to the court to decide if this is a good idea, just whether or not it violates federal law, and we don't think it does. So what's your reaction to his verdict?
Well, I think that Congress intended to do two things when it passed both the motor voter law in the 1990s and the Help America Vote Act after the Florida recount in 2000. And they wanted to make it easy to vote, but hard to cheat. And they wanted to clean up the voter rolls. Well, it hasn't really worked out all that well. The Pew Center on the States, the Pew Research Center, estimated a couple of years ago that 24 million voter registrations in the United States, about 1 in 8, are either invalid or significantly inaccurate. That means that 2.75 million people, for example, are registered in more than one state. And Ohio, which passed this law because of that kind of problem, was trying to have voter rolls mean something rather than just basically be the equivalent of a 15-year-old phone book where you really couldn't use it for much and it would be prey to mischief and perhaps even outright fraud.
John, the dissent, at least the concurring dissent from Justice Sotomayor and some other activist organizations have said this is going to disenfranchise people, and particularly minorities. Sotomayor scolding the court's majority, according to NBC's reporting, for ignoring, quote, the history of voter suppression against which the National Voter Registration Act was enacted and upholds a program that appears to further the very disenfranchisement of minority and low-income voters that Congress set out to eradicate. What's your reaction to her opposition here?
Well, on all of these cases, whatever state they're filed in, the one thing that seems to be missing are the names of actual victims, people who actually weren't able to vote. And, you know, there obviously you can find one plaintiff here in Ohio who was in the same address for 16 years, didn't answer any of the letters that he got because he hadn't voted, he hadn't moved, but he didn't respond for a decade. So at that point, the government, I think, had the right to say, we haven't heard from you, you're not voting, so we're going to clean up the rolls. You have to participate in order to validate your registration in some way. And I don't think that's a major barrier to voting. So none of these cases really come up with real victims, real people who are going to be disenfranchised. They speculate, they cite pseudo-political science data, and they imagine that this will happen, but there's no real evidence that it happens.
John, just thinking in a practical scenario on this, let's say someone voted in Ohio in 2012 in the presidential election. Maybe they don't get around to the midterms. A lot more people vote in presidential years than midterm years. And then 2016 rolls around, and perhaps they don't like either choice. I heard there were rumors to that effect that perhaps neither one of them was all that popular. And then so they try to show up this year in 2018, and they can't vote. So some people are essentially saying, I don't mind the policy. It just seems like it might be better if it were 8 years or 10 years. What do you think of the specifics of the Ohio law?
Well, in this case, it would barely matter, even if it didn't. It might not even matter, because Ohio would have sent out the first postcard maybe in 2014, but in most cases in 2016. And if they heard nothing back from the postcard trying to verify the address, you can't take anyone off the rolls for at least 4 years. So I'm not sure even in Ohio's case it would have mattered there, except for perhaps a few people at the beginning of the year. And secondly, it's not hard. You can register to vote with a postcard in Ohio. It's very simple. And remember, if you're taken off the rolls, they also send you a notice saying you're being taken off the rolls. So it's an awful lot of mail there you have to almost try not to read.
Why is there such an effort, and I'm thinking of Eric Holder on this as well, but why is there such an effort by some on the left to make sure that these voter rolls don't get updated as much as folks like you believe they should be?
Well, there's a lot of speculation on that. I think it's because they really do sincerely believe that a democracy should be judged as effective depending on how many people vote, regardless of whether or not they're eligible, whether or not they're real, whether or not they're well-informed. Most Americans, I think, have a slightly different view. I suspect that there are also perhaps some people who, while they don't personally know of what goes on the ground on Election Day, they know that there's some people out there who are given street money, walking around money, told to get out the vote, and they're not particularly anxious to find out exactly how that money is used or how people are corralled or, shall we say, drummed into to voting at the polls.
So when people say that there's just not evidence that this is a widespread problem, what do you tell them?
Well, if you don't look for the evidence and you don't conduct any steps to find the evidence, you're not going to find any problems. I will simply say this. We have cases over and over again. James O'Keefe, the filmmaker, has documented in state after state, people going into polling places and saying, do you have this person on your rolls to vote? Yes. Well, and they're handed a ballot. They don't take it. Obviously, that would be a felony, but it's very easy. In fact, Eric Holder himself, James O'Keefe, walked into a polling place in Washington, D.C., asked for his ballot, and it was about to be handed it until he said, well, you know, maybe I should show you ID. And I said, no, we don't have to show you ID. So without ID, there really is no way of knowing how big this problem is, because remember, once the ballot is cast, it's thrown in with all the others, and you can never segregate it out and find out exactly what happened.
Fascinating. Big day today at the Supreme Court. I'm sure there'll be battles before too long that we'll check in about. John, thank you very much for your time today, as always.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Absolutely. John Fund, National Review columnist and co-author of Who's Counting? How Fraudsters and Bureaucrats Put Your Vote at Risk. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.